Good morning. Good to see everyone this morning. We are going to take our text from Hebrews, the 12th chapter, and we're going to use the second verse. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, as we come before you, Lord, we're just so thankful for today and thankful for all the blessings you have given us. And Lord, we're just especially thankful that Jesus was willing and able to come and to make the ultimate sacrifice upon the cross, Lord, for our sins, won the victory, resurrected the third day, Lord. We're just so thankful for all you've done for us through your Son and his sacrifice. Forgive me of the sins I've committed against thee. Ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Title of my message this morning is Glory in the Cross. And I put up the stained glass and talked about they used to do pictures and different things because they didn't always have the Word of God. And even if they had it, sometimes they couldn't read it. And so they would sometimes put up things, do things to tell a story. And last week we talked about the Bible, how important it is. It's the Word of God. It tells us about God. It is His truth. There's so many things we can talk about. But it tells us of Jesus Christ. It tells us of His ultimate sacrifice. And that's what we're going to look at today, is the cross. So hopefully in talking about these, when you look at them, you kind of think about some of these things from a biblical standpoint and what Jesus did for us. And so we're going to be talking about the cross, and we find that the Bible tells us about the cross. Now we're going to talk about New Testament verses and how many times that the word cross is used in the New Testament, 28 times. But before we get there, I want to talk about the cross from the standpoint of prophecy, because there's a really fascinating prophecy in Deuteronomy 21, verse 22 and 23. And Deuteronomy is one of the first five books of the Bible, right? And what is that, right? We call that the Pentateuch, but more importantly, it is the law. And so this is what Israel lived by. And it was not only their religious law in that how they were to worship God, but it was also their civil law and how they were to deal with one another. If somebody did something that broke a law, how do you deal with that? And so Deuteronomy 21 deals with this. And if any man have committed a sin, and the word there, man, is generic. It's talking about woman, child. So this, and is a sin worthy of death, he is to be put to death. And then, what does it say there? And thou hang him on a tree. It's kind of interesting. I did some studying on this week, and I've looked at these verses before. And have you ever thought a verse said something, and then you read it and look at it, and even when you know the verse, it doesn't really say that? I would have sworn on a Bible, if you would have challenged me, that this said, and if he be put to death, and if you look above, their way of death, their form of execution was stoning. It's kind of interesting. We're not very good at execution in our country. We've done it different ways. We just had a guy firing squad, right? And so it's just kind of interesting, some of the things. And one, we do it because of the crime, because of the viciousness and the, you know, and how bad. The other reason it is done is for a deterrent, right? That's there's two reasons why those kinds of punishments are done. And so if he sins a sin that's worthy of death, and if you go up above, then the form of execution for Israel would have been stoning. And if he be put to death, so if he is executed by stoning, and thou hang him on the tree, I would have swore it said, and if. It doesn't say that. It says, and thou hang him on a tree. So I did a little bit of reading about that. And this was when they did that, they would stone somebody and then they would hang them on a tree. And there's some discussion as to what this was. Sometimes it might be a tree branch. And everyone agreed the way they would hang them after they were already dead, okay, so this is really important, is they would tie their wrists and then they would put the branch of the tree, or sometimes they would build a scaffolding. Sometimes there would be two posts and then a post coming across and they'd hang from there. And the purpose of this was for a deterrent, that people see, look, if you sin a sin, you know, you're going to do that. You're going to have this happen to you. Now, this is not for the purpose to put one to death by hanging. Their way of execution was stoning, to hang on tree after death. And there is an English word for it. It's called gibbeting, or to gibbet. And what it means, and it comes from the Latin. Romans did it. Israel does it here. It's the use of a gallows or some kind of a tree structure from which the dead bodies of criminals were hanged on public display to deter others. So the reason I point this out is there's this verse, this thing in the law that does that Israel did not know what crucifixion was. Okay, so there's not a verse that says that Jesus will be crucified. But it's interesting, if you read Psalms 22, there it says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? It tells us how Jesus is going to feel on the cross. It actually, the Gospels tells us the facts of Jesus on the cross. If you want to know how he feels, you got to go to the Old Testament, which I think is incredibly fascinating. And so as we go on and look at this verse and how important it is in the prophecy of it all, it says his body shall not remain all night upon the tree. So if he's killed that day before sunset, he is to be taken down. And remember, when Jesus is crucified, they want to get him down, right? And it has to do with this law. The Jews go to the Romans and say, you know, Nicodemus goes to him. Joseph of Arimathea went and asked the Romans, and they took the body down before sunset. So if his body shall not remain all night upon the tree, but thou shalt in any wise bury him. So he has to be buried that day before sunset. For he that is hanged is accursed of God. Now, that is incredible. That cursed, meaning to pay a penalty, meaning judged of God. The judgment of God is upon them. You look at that word in the Hebrew and what it means. That the land may not be defiled, which the Lord thy God has given thee for inheritance. So this hung on a tree. Now, the cross isn't the type of crucifixion or the type of execution of crucifixion. That's a Roman thing. So that doesn't happen until hundreds of years, thousand year after all this, but the idea of hanging someone on the tree. So now go to Galatians, the third chapter, the verse 13, and we see the significance of this Old Testament verse in dealing with hanging on the tree, and not just hanging on the tree, but the judgment of God being accursed or cursed of God. Paul, writing to the church of Galatians, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. He is, when he hung on that tree, right? So go on. For it is written, cursed is everyone, or the judgment of God is on everyone that hangeth on the tree. See, the judgment of God is on us, right? Deuteronomy 27:26. I came across them last night when I did a little more studying. It says, cursed be he that committeth... Cursed be he that confirmeth not all the word of this law to do them. Jesus said, if you break one law, you what? Yeah, that's what the New Testament says. If you break one, you broke them all. Cursed, it says, Deuteronomy 27:26, cursed is he that confirmeth not to do all the words of the law. Cursed, we use Romans 3:23, for all have sinned come short of the glory of God. But not only have we come short of the glory of God, but cursed, the judgment of God is upon us. And it goes all the way back to this prophecy in Deuteronomy, and then this confirming of what Jesus did for us, being made a curse for us, so we don't have to face that curse, that judgment of God. And then Galatians 3:10, for as many as are the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. So the New Testament just confirms what Deuteronomy 27:26 said. And then Peter, and we're going to look at some other things that Peter talks about, the cross that he says. He says, who his own self bore our sins. And what is that sin? The judgment of God, the curse of God. He bore our sins. Not that he sinned, really important. There's a big difference in bearing the sin and being a sinner, right? He never sinned, but he bore our sin. And to bear something is to carry it. To carry a burden. And so if I was to carry something, it doesn't become in me. It's something I carry on the outside, right? And so this sin that Jesus bore for us was never within him, always bore upon him in his own body on the tree. Now, tree, what they make crosses out of? Yeah, right? So we know. Now, it's interesting they use this tree because they're going back to the Old Testament prophecy. They understand what the significance of that when they talk about that. That we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. And Isaiah 53:10-11. Remember, cursed of God. Whoever hangs on the tree is cursed, the judgment of God. And so it's really important that we understand what that means. In Isaiah 53:10, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, verse 11, he shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear the iniquities. Verse 10 is always fascinating, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. It pleased God the Father. Not that God was happy, right? But the end result, in order to accomplish the mission, sometimes you have to do things that are difficult. And he sent his son to do a very difficult task, to bear something that was going to be incredibly difficult. God had never touched sin. Sin had never touched God. And yet, Jesus bore it in his own body, on his own body, and it touched him, if you will. And when that happened, God the Father, there is a separation. And this is the cursed is everyone, and this is the prophecy that we are cursed. We have this judgment because we can't keep the law. But Jesus took that curse away from us, so we don't have to. Incredible verse there in what God did for us through Jesus Christ. We find that the apostles use these verses, this idea of cursed on a tree, when they preached. There's three sermons specifically I want to point out in the book of Acts. Paul and John healed the lame man in chapter 4 at the temple, and they got arrested and they were told, stop preaching this Jesus. And then they get released, they come back, chapter 5, they get arrested again because they keep preaching Jesus. They can't stop preaching Jesus. And they said, look, didn't we tell you, stop? And this is Peter's response. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus. Now, if you see, they are before, he is before the council, which is the Sanhedrin and the high priest. So he is before 70 men, important people. The God of our fathers, he's including him and those of his audience, right? Raised up Jesus. You know about this. Now, this is, chapter 5 is well within a year. Probably within 6 months of the death, burial, resurrection, and the ascension of Jesus Christ, whom ye slew. A lot of these men were on the Sanhedrin that were saying, crucify him whom you slew. Now, here's the thing. Some people, there's this idea that the Jews crucified Jesus. Jesus was crucified because of my sin. It doesn't matter. I believe there was probably Gentiles there. It pleased God to bruise him. It was God's plan. It's not biblical to blame the nation of Israel. Came to his own and they rejected him, yes. But it was our sins that he died for that put him on the cross. And the God of our fathers, whom ye slew, and ye hung on a tree. Now, that's really important. These people know Deuteronomy 21. They know that prophecy. They know those verses. They, to the point to where it was the Jews who said, hey, we got to get him down before Passover. We got to get him down before the day ends, right? They understood the law, whom ye slew on a, or yeah, slew on a tree, making reference to that prophecy. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel. He's speaking to the Sanhedrin, the ultimate court, if you will, of Israel. He died to give you and repentance and forgiveness of sin. A little bit later, Paul to the house of Cornelius. Cornelius is a Roman. He is a Gentile. And as Cornelius tells his servant to go get Peter, go find Peter at Joppa. Peter is having this dream, experiencing eating meat that the law said you could not eat. There's this sheet that came down, and in it was all this meat to these animals that they were forbidden to eat. One of those would be a pig, would be swine. They didn't know what bacon tastes like, right? Anyway, and so... while this is going on, God says, eat, and the servant is on his way, and Peter says, I don't think so, Lord. Now, God's telling him to eat. I think there are sometimes we can get so rigid in, Brother David's talked about tradition and stuff, we can get so rigid in our ideas that traditions and things that we tell God no sometimes. And Peter said, no. The idea, Lord, you told me not to. Can God tell us to do other things, that there are some circumstances where there's a no, and sometimes it's the right thing to do? Well, here it is. And he says, eat. And Peter says, I don't think so. And anyway, he finally gets, okay, I can eat things that are unclean. Well, here's the thing. The Jews saw Gentiles as unclean and unworthy of God, unless they converted to Judaism. And the next thing, when Peter wakes up from this dream, there's a knock at the door, and this Gentile is saying, hey, my master, a Roman Gentile, wants you to come and wants you to tell him about Jesus. And Jesus, and Peter is like, now Peter has already went and preached to Samaritans. Jesus talked to the woman at the well. That was even tough for the church at Jerusalem and for Peter. Now, we're not talking half Jews. We're talking about full-on Gentile. And Peter's like, no, not eat. That's unclean. This is unclean. You want to hear about Jesus? He goes, right? And this is why he preaches. We are witnesses to the house of Cornelius. We are witnesses of all things. And we can discuss Cornelius. Was he saved? I think Cornelius very likely was a saved man. But it doesn't matter. He comes to a relationship to God and he wants to be obedient. Peter says, you know, they start speaking with the Holy Spirit. Peter says, how can we not, you know, baptize these people? He organizes a church right there, right? But this is what he preaches to them. And we are witnesses of all these things, which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they, right? The Jews, because he's speaking to Gentiles now. But who hung him on the cross? Romans. He could have said, you, but maybe this Roman guard, this Roman soldier, whatever his rank was, pretty important. Maybe he had nothing to do with that, but talking about they slew him in Jerusalem, hanged him on a tree. Back to that prophecy. Now, the Roman, he would have known the form of execution and what Jesus was crucified on a cross, but he uses tree because of the importance. Him, God, raised the third day and showed him, Romans 13:29. And when they had fulfilled all, this is Paul, him and Barnabas is at Antioch in Poseidon in the synagogue speaking to Jews. This is up in Asia Minor. And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree, right? So again, going back to that Old Testament, and laid him in the sepulcher, but God hath raised him from the dead. So there are 28 verses. Don't have time to look at all of them. I just want to look at some verses in dealing with the idea of the cross in the New Testament. There is cross analogies or symbols. And first of all, we find the cross as a symbol of spiritual responsibility. Jesus used this analogy. This is before he's crucified, right? He says, and he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. So one of the things they would do is make the criminals carry their cross. We find Jesus does that. He falls under the weight of it. And they compel one, Simon of Cyrene, right, if I have that right, to bear his cross. Which is kind of interesting when you think of that. Jesus bearing his cross there on as a human is important. Jesus dying on the cross is what is important. But bearing it, carrying it, is an analogy. And it was an everyday part of their language, and Jesus used it on multiple occasions. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow Follow me. And the idea is that it is a symbol of spiritual responsibility, things that we should do in bearing the cross, things we should do in our daily walk, in our relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what he's talking about. Take up your cross, take up this responsibility, and follow me. Matthew 10:38 says, if you don't do this, you're not worthy of me. This is what disciples do. Jesus, beholding him that loved him, and said unto him, one thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou have, give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure, and come, take up the cross and follow me. It's interesting, this individual, he doesn't say you need to be saved. I think this individual is probably saying he's just not going to commit to daily spiritual walk, right? That's the issue here. Come, take up your cross, follow me. So this is the idea of symbol of spiritual responsibility. And the last one I'll use in dealing with this is, whatsoever and whosoever doth not bear his cross, come after me, cannot be my disciple. Now note, disciple, what is a disciple? A follower of Jesus. Doesn't say you can't be my child. Doesn't say you won't be saved. But if you want to be a disciple, a follower, committed to Jesus, it's interesting, he uses this, bear his cross, before he ever had any connection to the cross. Peter, there's some interesting verses in Peter. The cross is a symbol of sacrifice and suffering. And that was part, again, of everyday language. You can look at Greek books that talk about the Roman language, the Greek language, and that was part of their language. And we have writings that talk about that in everyday language. Peter says this, for hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us. Suffered for us. Where did he suffer? On the cross, right? He suffered in other ways in the garden, but we're going to see what Peter is talking about, leaving us an example. I don't want you to miss this, because Christ suffered for us. Do you see that? For Christ also hath once suffered. So why did he suffer? So first he says he suffered for us and says that this was an example, and so we should follow his steps, and we may have to suffer to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. And then in chapter 3, verse 18, for Christ also suffered. The reason he suffered, part of the suffering, was for our sin, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh on the cross, right? But quickened by the Spirit. And then the third one that he uses, for as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh on the cross. And again, I'm adding that. So he suffered in the flesh, but we know where that was. Arm yourselves likewise the same mind, for he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. So every one of these verses talked about the death of Jesus Christ in the analogy of suffering and taking up our cross daily. Peter actually does use that verse, 1 Peter 2:24. He says, who his own self bore our sin in his own body on the tree. The second thing I want us to talk about this morning is Christ and the cross. Now, we have Easter coming up, and so I'm going to speak more of that in the month of April, I just want to touch about it, because it's so important. And he, bearing his cross, talking of Jesus, went forth in the place called the place of the skull, which is called in Hebrew Golgotha. Latin is Calvary, right? Where they crucified him and two others with him, one on either side, Jesus in the midst. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. And so Jesus was crucified. It's the Jews who said crucify him. It's the Romans who actually did the execution with their form of crucifixion. And whether there's different types, there's a T, there's an X, there's what we see as a normal cross, what we call the cross, but they use different kinds at different times. And nailed to the cross, the nails would have gone through the wrists and through the feet. His side was pierced. So just the fact that he was crucified on the cross, there nailed to the cross. And then our text verse, it's kind of, how does Jesus view the cross? What was his view of it? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Kind of interesting. There's a lot of authors of religion, Buddha, all kinds of, you know, different gods and different things. But there is no one who is alive. Buddha's dead. All these other people are dead. Jesus isn't just the author. He's the finisher. He won the victory of our faith. Who for the joy, so his view of the cross was it was a joyous thing. Can't end there though, right? That was set before him, endured, right? The cross, despising the shame. He wasn't happy about the cross, enduring, you know. You ever done something that takes a lot of work and then it's very satisfying afterwards, but boy, it just really is taxing and difficult. Cost Jesus his life. That is, right? Endured the cross, died on the cross, despised the shame. I mean, one of the things in Psalms 22, it talks about, we know that the Gospels say that they walked before Jesus and they mocked him and they said, if you be the Son of God, come down. He could have. I'm glad and thankful he didn't, right? Because if he would have, I would not be able to have a relationship with God, because the penalty would not have been paid. He could have done that. And so it's kind of interesting, this idea that he had to go through this and this mocking. And Psalms 22 tells us that Jesus sees them, and this is prophecy, right? And talks about how that they despise him and are mocking him. We only know what the mockers do in the Gospels. We know in Psalms 22 how Jesus felt about that while hanging on the cross. But the ultimate result, Hebrews 2 tells us that it was a joyful thing that Jesus accomplished. That's how he sees it, as joyful for us. He's glad that he accomplished it for us. But he didn't like what it happened, right? Which I can appreciate that. And it's set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Talk a little bit about some verses in cross theology. You know, it's kind of interesting. The Bible tells us we're not to have images, not to worship images. And boy, I'm not about worshiping this, but it's an analogy. And the New Testament, Christ used an analogy. There's word pictures, and we're going to see some word pictures here of the cross. And, you know, the cross, when we see it or when a picture is painted of Christ dying on the cross, it should motivate us. So I hope, this is nothing to worship. This is should remind us of what Christ did for us, and is a picture, as the Bible has word pictures, that should motivate us to be a better servant of Jesus Christ. Philippians 2:8. And being found in the fashion of man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death. That could have been enough, right? Even the death, or particularly, specifically, the terrible death. It wasn't just that he died, but he died this shame. I mean, when they crucify people, they're naked, right? They're hung up, and there's this mocking and all this stuff that goes on, even the death of the cross. And he was obedient. He humbled himself, and boy, Jesus did it for us. That's the theology, Colossians 2:14. And what does that do for us? Blotting out the handwriting of the ordinances that was against us. What is against us? What are the ordinances? The Pentateuch, the law of Moses. Cursed is everyone that does what? Deuteronomy 17, cursed is everyone who doesn't keep all the law, right? That's the other one. So that's the curse upon us. The handwriting of the ordinance against us is the curse, the judgment of the law, that we're all sinners, that we can't fix that. And what did he do? Blotted it out. Now, blotting something out is to, we would talk about erase it, to cover it up, to make it non-existent. I loved when whiteout was invented. I don't know about you. Whiteout, what I say, whiteout. Whiteout was invented. It is an incredible thing. But you know, the idea of whiteout is here. Jesus whited it out, blotted it out. And maybe the actual color is red. I don't know what the color, I don't know what color it is, but these ordinances, God no longer, when he sees me, because when I was 13 I accepted him as Savior, he never sees me as a lawbreaker separated from him. He sees me that those are gone, and he sees me through Jesus Christ as justified and as a child of God. I'm a child of God. You know what Jesus is? He's a child of God. He is son of God. That's pretty fascinating when we talk about this equal footing, right? Heirs, joint heirs, talk about those kinds of things. Jesus is the son of God, which are contrary to us, took them out of the way. How did he do it? Nailed him on the cross. How did he do that? As he bore our sins, he also bore the law. Jesus says, I will not destroy the law. I will fulfill it. And as fulfilling the law, fulfilled not only the curse that is against us, but fulfilled every prophecy. And one of the prophecies of Jesus is, cursed is everyone that hang on the tree. And someone has to do it to remove the curse. And Jesus was able to do that. Colossians 1:20, and having made peace through the blood of his cross. So not only do we get forgiveness of sin, that's incredible. That would be enough for me. Just give me, but God wants more. He doesn't just want me to have forgiveness. He says I can have peace. And where is this peace? Now, I think peace is with one another too, but the ultimate peace, I need peace with God. I need to be at peace. God needs to be at peace with me, and have made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto him, all things that were cursed by the law, not just humanity. By him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. For he is our peace, who hath made both one. And this is the division between Gentiles and Jews. So first, it says in Colossians, we have peace with God through the cross. And now it's going to say we can have peace with one another too. I like 2 Corinthians 5:21. He says, be reconciled to God. And we have the ministry of reconciliation, and we should be reconciled to one another. Through Jesus Christ, we can have peace in all relationships. That is the ultimate goal of what the cross did for us. For he is our peace. He hath made both one, hath broken down the middle wall partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, being enemies. Were Jews and Gentiles enemies? They're still enemies today. Look at what the Middle East is going on. This is the same battle today. For to make him of twine one new man, so making peace, that he might reconcile both unto God, Jew and Gentile, in one body, by the cross, having slain the enmity, the being enemies thereby, and came and preached peace to them which were far off and to them which were nigh. Far off the Gentiles, those which were nigh the Jews. So it's incredible what the cross does for us. Preaching of the cross. We are to preach. We preach Christ crucified. Where was he crucified? On the cross. What's the reaction? Jews a stumbling block, to Greeks, to Gentiles, it's silliness. That's often the reaction today. I'm determined not to know anything among you save Jesus and crucified on the cross. Have you ever found it interesting when you go to witness to somebody and, you know, you're talking about Christ and they're talking about the fact that are you a sinner and all these things, and they want to talk about the book of Revelations? and Paul experienced that, and he said, look, when this happens, all I want to talk about is Jesus and him crucified. That's what we need to be preaching, the cross. And then also, but to preach the gospel, lest the cross should be made of no effect. For the preaching of the cross, verse 18, is them that perish foolishness, but to us that are saved, it is the power of God. So much in the cross. We could look at more. The reaction to the cross. For many walk, of whom I told you often and now tell you, even weeping, that they are enemies, haters of the cross of Jesus Christ. How could you hate the cross? But there are people who hate God, who hate Jesus, who hate... I once, not me, but a pastor had said he had been preaching and preached about the blood of Jesus Christ, and a visitor had come to him and says, that's all you ever talk about is the blood of Jesus Christ. That's kind of important, right? And some people react to that. It's their own conviction, right? In closing, piano song leader, come forward. I wanted to fit Galatians 2:20 in my sermon. It just didn't fit. I'll use it somewhere. But I like Galatians 6:14, and this is kind of Paul's life verse. And Paul says this, but God forbid, God do not allow it to happen, God forbid me, that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. The only thing that I should be proud of, excited about, is how what God has done for me through the cross of Jesus Christ. I should glory and glory in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. Paul says, I will glory. And glory is to give honor to, right? I give honor to God. I give honor to Jesus Christ. But I give honor to what he accomplished in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. What do you glory? What do you give honor? Are you thankful for the cross and all that God has done for you through Jesus Christ being crucified on the cross? Let's all stand together.